I'm David Ahl, and this is Beyond the Belly. Belly of the Beast Life Stories is a way to help us understand the nature of life transformations. Each of the real-world stories illustrates that in a different way. But now, we want to go beyond any personal belly story to understand the overall patterns of transformation. To shape the narrative, I'm going to pull in expert friends of mine to help guide us through the patterns and share insights. My hope is that as you hear these stories and digest their meaning, it shines a light on your own life, helping you take action to live an even fuller life by being mindful of the transformations you have gone through, are going through now, and of those just right around the corner. We need to restore responsible fatherhood in America and throughout the world. We need fatherfulness now more than ever. Fatherlessness, our theme for season 3, Stories of Men, is a common pattern these days. In fact, according to the U.S. Census, which is not an estimate, but a hard count, 1/3 of all children grow up without their biological father in the picture. That's nearly 25 million children. And let me be clear, physical presence does not mean emotionally present in a boy's life. Responsible fatherhood requires choosing what Joe Biden will call quantity time over quality time. Responsible fatherhood means choosing family first. Just growing up without a biological father around has been measured to be the singular strand of life experience that leads to a difficult pattern to break out of, particularly for men. It's living life with the short end of the stick and not even realizing it. Until you do realize it. And then you can break the pattern. What is the first step to restoring responsible fatherhood? You know me, storytelling is the antidote to this pandemic. Boys and men need to hear these stories. So do single moms and siblings. We all need to know that growing up fatherless is a real thing. That yes, we are different than the families we see on TV. That it's okay to feel incomplete or confused or angry. And that you're not alone. And oh, by the way, here's how men just like you and I started climbing up. And they're great men today. Stories are the antidote to this pandemic. There's a word in the Zen tradition. It's a Japanese word. Kinsho. Kinsho translates to the idea of seeing briefly into one's true nature. A brief and sudden glimpse into your own life. Stepping back to see your pattern clearly and really for the first time. Wanting change. Kinsho is my motivation as a storyteller. It's the philosophical purpose behind this podcast. These stories, our extraordinary life stories, they plant the seed. And that seed will find its way to the surface and bloom like a lotus, finding its way through the mud to the light. Which brings us to today's Beyond episode, our fourth episode, a look into the life of Joe Biden from the perspective of fatherhood and as an example of fatherfulness. It's an extraordinary story. It's a story that you need to hear in the context of fatherlessness because it's the antithesis of the stories we'll share in season 3. Joe Biden grew up with an incredible father that he still quotes today. He demonstrates what it means to be a good father in the lives of his children. His children now demonstrate that same thing to their children. The pattern continues. I'm telling this story as a portrait of father fullness, the undeniable truth that Joe Biden was lucky. He grew up with a great biological father around. He is and has been an incredible father. And now his son continues that pattern with his son. It's special to see a man have a platform to really articulate the values that were instilled in him early on and still drive him today to proudly proclaim that he is a good man, a man of character. Some of you know a little bit about my story. You know that I was a speechwriter in the United States Senate in my 20s. I worked for a middle-way Republican, United States Senator George V. Voinovich, a husband and father of four, a former mayor of Cleveland and governor of Ohio, similar middle-class values to Joe Biden, and similarly lost one of his children, Molly, at the age of 9, when she was struck by a van walking home from school. I never met Senator Biden in the annals of the Senate, but I do know the grief Senator Voinovich carried. These men are rare everywhere, let alone Capitol Hill. Let me tell you Joe's extraordinary story. Let me take you beyond. At the age of 29, Joe Biden was elected to the United States Senate. A former class president, football star, mediocre student, now heading to Washington, D.C. to represent the state of Delaware and the U.S. Senate, the fifth youngest of all time. It should have been the best year of his life. It was the worst. Joe had met Nelia Hunter on a spring break trip to the Bahamas his junior year at the University of Delaware. The two fell in love. And on their second date, old middle-class Joe didn't have enough money to pay for their meal, so Nelia slipped him a 20 under the table. On August 27th, 1966, Joe married Nelia at St. Mary's of the Lake near Syracuse. 2 years later, they would move to Delaware and Joe started practicing law. In 3 years, between 1969 and 1971, he had three children, Beau, Hunter, and Naomi. In 1972, the Democratic Party encouraged Joe to take on this Herculean task of taking on the incumbent U.S. Senator. And against all odds, Biden won that race. Victory was followed by the unthinkable, a forced change. His wife, Nelia, out with the kids getting a Christmas tree, hit a semi-truck head-on. The driver wasn't at fault. Joe got a call.
But the call said, my wife was dead, my daughter was dead, and I wasn't sure how my sons were going to make it.
Joe, age 30, was now a single father. A single father headed to the United States Senate, but not yet sworn into office. Joe had a choice to make, how to balance ambition and public service with the role and responsibilities of fatherhood. He didn't leave the hospital. He didn't go to Washington to get sworn in as the fifth youngest senator of all time. He stayed with his boys and made clear his choice.
If in 6 months or so there's a conflict between my being a good father and being a good senator, which I hope will not occur, we can always get another senator, but they can't get another father.
When I hear Joe say this, I try to imagine what it must be like having a biological father that cared more about his role of being there than being anywhere else in the world. Maybe it was a fluke or a PR stunt, you might think. But no, Joe made it a point in his career to every single night take that Amtrak train back to Wilmington, to tuck his boys in, to be there for them in the morning. Joe Biden chose fatherhood. In a memo he would later write to his Senate staff, practically demanding that they choose family obligations over working for him, he talks about quantity time versus quality time. The idea that as a father, he needed to be there, and he expects the same of his staff.
When I first got to the Senate, I got elected when I was 29, and before I turned 30, or just after I turned 30, I was down hiring staff. My wife and daughter were killed in an automobile accident, and my two boys were really badly injured. And I thought I was a decent father before then, but you realize that, you know, in my generation, it was about quality time instead of quantity time. There's no such thing as quality time. Every important thing your child will say to you will be off script, as they say, will be at a time when you don't expect it. And kids can hold an idea for maybe 12, 14 hours, but after that, it's gone, man. You lose it. And this idea of the way we all rationalize, you know, I have to take the red eye get home for a birthday, but, you know, it really doesn't matter that much to my wife for birthday. Or, you know, if I just make this business trip, I'll miss his last football game, but, you know, he'll understand. That's just a bunch of malarkey. It's just not true. It's not true. And I don't want anybody in my staff feeling an obligation to do something for me when there's something that matters in their family. And there's nothing noble about it. I do it. You know, when I ran a second time, I was I had missed 14% of the votes the first time. And I ran against a good guy, and he had a very effective ad. He said, would you hire someone who missed 14 days out of every 100 days? Yeah, they work for you. And I never missed a vote that made that was any decisive. They were procedural votes. And I went on the air, and I said, look, if you elect me again, and I have a choice between a procedural vote or going to my kid's parent-teacher meeting, I'm going to the parent-teacher meeting. And if I could hold myself to that, no, by the way, it's a lot easier for me because I had a million employers. You know what I mean? No, I really mean it. It's harder when you have a boss that so I felt if I could do that, I should not hold my staff to any different standard.
When a father is physically present, it makes an impact on a young boy. When a father is emotionally present around his son, it matters. Joe Biden was born in Scranton, Pennsylvania. His father cleaned furnaces and was a used car salesman. Still today, as he's out there talking to folks, Joe credits his father with instilling in him the core value of dignity.
Every single person, my dad used to say, no matter who they are, Joe, is entitled to be treated with dignity. A word I think that is probably used more here in Scranton, at least in my experience, than anywhere else.
Treating everyone with respect, that each person has inherent worth. This quality is rare in anyone, let alone a United States Senator or Vice President or someone running for President of the United States. And it's not just a quality that Joe maintains and holds dear, but one that he's passed down to his boys, and now they pass down that quality down to their boys. What he refers to as, quote unquote, how we were raised. This pattern of passing down this rare and genuine quality comes to life in this next clip as a great example of the pattern of fatherfulness and why we need more of it.
My dad had an expression. He'd say, everyone, and he meant it, every single person entitled to be treated with dignity, no matter what. My father would never walk by a shoeshine guy or a CEO without saying, I give him, without
seriously. Mm-hmm. And I point out, you know, you were asking me, Gail, about the book, mm-hmm. where we're on Nantucket Island, the Secret Service. I'm in one car. We had people who were volunteering to be with us, a guy driving us named Ethan. My son and my grandson are in the car. The Secret Service goes left. They go straight. And my grandson, who's then 5 years old, says, "Driver, driver." My son said, "Pull over the car." And he opened the door, got in the back. He said, "Hunter, nobody is addressed by what they do. This is Ethan. Nobody's a driver, honey. Do you understand me? Nobody." Mm-hmm. That's the way we were raised. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. People respond also when you treat them with dignity.
Joe had lost his wife and his daughter. He faced grief. So much so that he empathizes with folks who have confronted or taken their own life. 4 decades later, he'd also faced the loss of his son, Beau. A decent man that was raised to treat people with dignity. An extraordinary example of a father and the pattern of fatherfulness we need more of in the world today. Like the creeks flowing into the rivers flowing into the ocean, this podcast continues to fork out, taking you further into your own pattern of transformation. I want to invite you to share your story with me, if and when you feel moved to do so. If one of the stories has helped you look in the mirror and gain new perspective, or if the wisdom has moved you along in your own journey, I'd love to hear about it. My personal email is david@inourbelly.com. Trust that your story will be confidential unless you and I decide that it's time for you to share that story through an upcoming season. And if your story is a crucial aspect of your professional career, check out davidall.com, a place where you'll find some free resources and methods and a way for us to work together to help you tell your story the simple and easy way. As always, the greatest way to help these stories reach the folks that need to hear them is to share it with a friend or two. Just send them a text message or post it on social media. And don't forget, write a fair review on Apple iTunes. It takes a small team to bring you the highest quality podcast to wherever you listen. Milos Broseta is our sound engineer. Artie Wu is our advisor and a frequent guest on Beyond. And I'm David All, the host, producer, and creator. And you, well, you're more than just the listener. Your life story is the reason why this podcast exists. Thank you for listening. Stay tuned. I'm working on some stories that you need to hear. Be well.